Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. I am your host, Joe Kuzma, and I thought I was going to be flying solo. I thought I had the Batcave to myself, but no, just like in the Lego movie, the annoying little Robin has showed up. It's not Brian, because Brian doesn't like to be called Robin, but it's more or less how I met Noah Freeman. Noah, how's it going, man?
Good. It's a week removed from football, but obviously we're not going to shy away from talking about it, because why would we? Even though football season's done, doesn't mean we want to stop talking about it.
Now, I want to preface our show as Noah was a little concerned about his audio quality and whatnot. He has taken some time out of his day, his remote location as opposed to usual, and doesn't have all the good stuff with him, but you still sound great, man. Thanks for joining us today, and I hope you got the analogy with the annoying Lego Batman Robin that was constantly you were shooting messages to me back and forth all the time, and it was like, man, I was like, we started talking and we got to know each other a little bit better, and it was like everything just clicked, and I'm like, yeah, this, you know what, hey, you want to jump on board here? So you were more than gracious, and here you are today.
Oh yeah, it's great to be here. It's nice to just share those comments too, because that's what we're all here for.
I think our common bond for sure was how much we had a dislike for the media's infatuation with the New England Patriots. And it's good to see that kind of them still kind of be crash and burn even like a week later. Some of that subsided. More people are talking about, I don't know, like the Cavaliers, for example. I know I'm a Cleveland Cavs fan. Of course, Pittsburgh doesn't have a pro basketball team. And growing up equidistant from Cleveland and Pittsburgh, a lot of Cleveland sports fans, including my wife, who is a Browns fan. I know. I've mentioned this before, and you know, I've received sympathy cards in her favor and things of that nature. But yeah, I mean, some people think that literally you could go out, NFL teams could just clear house, so you couldn't name anybody on the Cavs at the end of last week other than LeBron James, because they traded everybody away. They traded like six guys away, got four back. They didn't even have all. They were missing like half of their bench for the game they played Friday, and so now everybody's like, hey, you know what? It's time now. We're going to look at some offseason moves. And the Steelers make a couple small signings, like Roosevelt Nix, the big one, the four-year deal. I thought he was going to be a one-year type deal. But like Jordan Berry, he gets a one-year deal because he's a restricted free agent. That's how the football business works, you know? And they're like, oh, can he cover Gronk? And I just roll my eyes. And today I kind of want to talk about the draft and you know, the Steelers draft history, how that impacts rosters, how Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin have had success even in spite of that. Really, the draft and adding players in the draft. I think everybody thinks the Steelers are going to go out and spend money in free agency. And the reason that doesn't happen is because the Steelers draft so well that they have to spend money on their own guys, on maintaining their own house, so and not letting those guys hit free agency. And when teams are doing that, you got to understand sometimes there's players that hit the free agent market that the teams just can't afford to keep. The Steelers couldn't afford to keep Mike Wallace, but when you look back on something like that and they give the money to Antonio Brown to keep their own guy in house, did Mike Wallace really become this really valuable free agent? You know, when he went to the Dolphins or then the Vikings and then the Ravens, has he really had the same type of success he's had with the Steelers? And I say no. And that's why it's kind of crazy to think, hey, they're going to go out and sign all these guys. No, they need to make a little bit of cap room. They just did that with DeCastro and someone else, restructuring contracts. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be for Le'Veon Bell. So it comes back to, oh, well, these guys are draft busts. Oh, they should get guys in free agency because some of these draft picks don't work out. But not every draft pick works out, you know?
Yeah, if this is all hypothetical, but if I were to ever have my own team that I was totally in charge of, why I love the Steelers so much, and this is not obviously the reason that I grew up loving the Steelers, but one of the reasons I love the Steelers and how they are able to be a powerhouse is because they get better through the draft. If you ever look at I'm sure there's statistics somewhere. I haven't been able to look up it real quick, but if you just build a team through free agency, it never works, because these free agents are more or less, obviously, like you said, sometimes there's a guy that falls through and you don't like to see him fall through and something like that. But the majority of free agency is just people, basically the leftovers from a team that didn't want him, or at least didn't want him enough to re-sign him. So you can't really build through free agency, which means then obviously you got to go through the draft, and going through the draft works. I'm going to use another analogy. Maybe it's NBA analogy day, but the Wizards, after they, I grew up in DC, so obviously okay. Pittsburgh not having a team. So that was where I grew up going to games, yada, yada, yada. But I grew up when they had Antoine Jamison and Gilbert Arenas and all that stuff. After they fell through, the Wizards were kind of doing free agency stuff. And where were they at? They were at the bottom of the league before they started drafting John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, excuse me. And now they're one of the top in the East. Obviously, we can debate that later, but they're in the top four of the East. They're top four in the East because their foundation is through the draft. So it's really hard to get these free agent stuff. So like you said, yeah, I agree with all the free agency stuff. And now that I've gone on such a rant, I don't even remember where you circled back from at the beginning.
Well, we really didn't have a whole lot of bullet points other than to talk about some of the picks the Steelers have made as a team and how they've progressed. But I think the big thing, and you touched on it, is, I mean, there's people who have tried to build these superstar teams. I remember when the Eagles, they just won a Super Bowl. But they didn't do that with Chip Kelly and Michael Vick and all these guys.
The dream team.
Yeah, the dream team. You remember that? And they flopped.
Yeah.
They flopped. And this was going to be the new offensive style in the NFL. And I remember everyone was so impressed that one game. And then you have players. I remember, I think it was LeSean McCoy, like, complaining about just how stressful it was to include so many more plays, because football is such a physical sport that it may behoove you to maybe not run 80 plays in a pro game and maybe just stick to the 50-60 range. So, yeah, that was more or less. I put out a meme just a little bit ago on the Steel City, on all the Steel City Underground stuff. If you're not following us, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, it's the guy who's sweating between the choice of pressing one or two of the red buttons. And I put Tomlin wins because of talent on one of the buttons, and Steelers don't draft well on the other button. And for anyone who could read into this, this is the common narrative of when the Steelers season doesn't end winning a Super Bowl, and maybe even when it does, Mike Tomlin only wins because he has a talented roster. Well, at the same time, now we're heading into, it's about to be NFL Combine, you know, you're going to be scouting for some draft picks and whatnot. How can you improve this team? And people say, oh, well, they need to sign free agents because the Steelers don't draft well. Well, wait a minute, if they don't draft well and they don't sign free agents, how does Mike Tomlin win games? How does he have a talented roster? It doesn't make any sense. And I'm going to go back several years here, but one of the examples that was tossed my way, now this doesn't mean if this happens to be the sir or ma'am that I was speaking to on social media, I'm not going to try and out anyone, but this was a good, it doesn't necessarily mean I disagree with some of the things they said. They said Jarvis Jones was a bust, but they try to say Artie Burns is a bust too. And I'm like, the guy's played 2 years so far, and I don't think everything that happens in a game can be attributed to one single individual at all times. That's why the Steelers are more successful than other teams, because they don't have this knee-jerk reaction to get rid of a player or replace a player or coach or anything like that. There's some consistency from year to year instead of the constant rebuild that, like, the Cleveland Browns have. And you see drafting high and having many draft picks, how well that's gone for them over throughout the years. But there was a name that came up, and the name was Lima Swede. And I mean, when you're Lima Swede was a second round draft pick, 53rd overall wide receiver in the 2008 draft. And yes, Lima Swede, a bust. He never played or amounted to a hill of beans for the Pittsburgh Steelers or anyone else for that matter. He just kind of faded into obscurity after this speedster was supposed to be this great draft pick that they made. But Lamb of Sweet has no bearing on what the 2018 Steelers or the 2017 Steelers or the 2016, 15, you could go all the way back. The only bearing that pick would have had is on the 2009 season, 2010 season, maybe 2011 season, because when you go 08, 09, 10, and 11, that's 4 years on a rookie deal. And when they're drafting a player like that, especially high as they did, they're expecting you know, several years of production out of that player. And then, of course, you make a decision on a contract or in the case of a first-round draft pick, a fifth-year option after that. And the Steelers usually do pretty well, because my objective here is that when you have a draft, if you find one or two contributors, role players or whatever, because, you know, some of the later picks and whatnot, they might just be role-type guys, special teamers, depth, things of that nature. It's just going to be one of these circumstances where if you find one or two guys, you're going to have a very successful team as opposed to having a whole draft class that's a bust.
When you think about it, I don't think a lot of people realize this sometimes, but when you got, let's just say no trades, you got seven rounds, you got seven picks. When you think about it, that's a lot of players that that are going to get drafted and try and making the team. I know just this year we were talking about all the draft picks and how much room there might be and stuff like that with who's going to make the roster and stuff like that. And it's just not physically possible for every single player to be good, and for every single player, let alone to be good, but to just even get a roster spot. There's a reason that there's seven picks, because there's a lot of people that actually just be a bust, and even the best, the most perfect GM of all time can't even predict some people's circumstances. And things change once they get to the NFL too. They could be perfect, and then once they get to the NFL, maybe they aren't able to manage their time or manage their money, or they have off the field problems, or they just couldn't handle the NFL or something like that. And when you look at it, like you said, if you can get one to two, even three is a good draft of people that make a successful impact, you've had a really good draft. And you just look back at some of these drafts that that the Steelers have had, and obviously you can't have three Antonio Browns every single draft, so you got to take this with a grain of salt. Like 2010, you got Marquise Pouncey, Jason Worlds, Emmanuel Sanders, and Antonio Brown. Obviously we lost Sanders, but he was incredible up for a long time. We got Antonio Brown. Jason Worlds was even pretty good for a little while, like as a solid backup kind of guy. And then Marquise Pouncey, one of the best centers in the NFL. Even Stevenson Sylvester did a little bit for a little bit of time, and that's a good draft. You go back a couple years again, you got Lawrence Timmons, Lamar Woodley, Matt Spaeth, Daniel Sepulveda, all top four. Those first four picks were incredible picks that they got, and then they even had William Gay at the end. Again, you can't have 10 Antonio Browns in a draft pick, so you gotta take some of that with a grain of salt. But the Steelers have been so good in drafting that it's kind of shocking that sometimes they see that the Steelers, that people will say that the Steelers miss picks. Because honestly, with this draft, I was talking to you earlier, we were talking about just even this draft, and I was like, round two happened, and I was waiting for the Steelers to draft anyone, honestly, but a wide receiver. And at the very first thing, I think all Steelers fans are like, what the heck are we doing? We just got a receiver? That's supposed to be the position we have locked up the most. And then little did we know, and Juju Smith-Schuster was a guy that we honestly probably wouldn't have won some games without, and he was just so impactful that we needed him. And he's a guy that could potentially be incredible with, again, I say potentially, because sometimes just because someone has a good rookie year doesn't mean they're going to have a good rest of the year. Cough, Dak Prescott. But but yeah,
now come on. Now Dak Prescott, he did all of that without Ezekiel Elliott, was the argument. It was all Dak Prescott, and then you see what happened when he didn't have Zeke. So
exactly. And I'm only giving him flack because the media again put him on a pedestal, saying he was, what was it at the ESPYs, he was the greatest athlete of whatever. And I'm like, man, you can't judge him off of 1 year's of stuff. But we digress. T.J. Watt. He had everyone thought he was a way too high of a pick that they're like, wait, what are the Steelers doing drafting TJ when he was probably bottom or like top third, maybe even in the middle of the second round, and look where he's gone. He's very underrated, honestly, I thought, rookie this year. James Conner, he probably would have done a lot more on any other team. He just had Le'Veon Bell right in front of him. You got a lot of guys that are just doing, even last year's draft, Artie Burns, Sean Davis, Javon Hargrave, starting right away, making a difference. You got DeMarcus Ayers, which obviously the wide receiver the competition just got so stiff that Ayers kind of fell to the end and stuff. But, I mean, the Steelers are nailing these drafts. I don't know how else you can there's not much you can say besides the Steelers are nailing these drafts, and obviously you're going to get a couple picks wrong, but that's human nature. Sometimes you're going to get a couple things wrong.
There's not a whole lot of turnover in the NFL. I mean, you look at 7 or 8 draft picks, and you look at only 53 spots on a roster, and somebody's got to go. It's either got to be the guy that's already there or the guy that's coming in. And, I mean, DeMarcus Ayers. I mean, just look at even just a few of the things that he did. It was a 7th-round pick. There's very low expectation for that. And I'll get into that in a second, but just the point on Lima Swede, just to go back to him, if Lima Swede pans out, the Steelers probably don't draft Mike Wallace the following year. They may not take 2 wide receivers 2 years after. So, 2009, they take Mike Wallace. 2010, they take Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. And even more so, if Emmanuel Sanders doesn't get, you know, banged up, you know, the first year or two, foot problem, whatever else he had, shoulder, whatever be the case, maybe Antonio Brown doesn't see all that much playing time. And Antonio Brown really cut his teeth playing special teams, too, as a kick returner and a punt returner, and made himself more and more valuable to the point where the Steelers said, say, to Mike Wallace. So sometimes missing on these picks, it doesn't always mean the end of the world either, because there's only so many roster spots at so many positions. Now, maybe missing on 1 or 2 of the linemen, like when they in 2012 was just a disastrous draft. But before I get to those individuals, of course, players taken in the first round are supposed to have a high pedigree. These are supposed to be the cream of the crop guys. Most of these guys play 5 years into the NFL. You get to year 5, there's a 71% chance that a first-round draft pick is still in the league somewhere. Some of them are on their second contract, be it with their original team that drafted them or not. Some of them get a 5th-year option. You go
but
to
think
the,
about that. Think yeah. about that for a second, what you just said. That's 30% of first-round picks. These are supposed to be every single person in the first round. This is the top 32 people out of how many thousands of people in college football that are supposed to be the guy, like the best on their team, the guy that's supposed to go into the NFL, have like 16, 17, 18 seasons where they're just going to dominate the top 32 teams, and there's a 30% chance that they're not even going to be in the league mm-hmm. after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gets worse. If you go to round 2, roughly 42% stick around. So you drop to less than a coin flip of a chance in year 5 that a 2nd-round draft pick will be on an NFL roster somewhere. You go
and
to
this
rough,
is just two, yeah. just 2 rounds out of 7, and not even including all the compensatory picks and all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And you get down where the compensatory picks start in round 3, you drop – it goes to 18.8%, and then it goes, it keeps going, 17.2, 16, 10. And then for some reason, the 7th round, which I think there's probably just more picks, there's more numbers, more law of averages. And my other mm-hmm. hunch is just kind of guys that maybe don't grade out great as far as physical attributes, you know, whatever their 40 time is, or they didn't bench enough. And it's more of a flyer or a risk. And you just, hey, I'll throw a dart at the board and see if these guys make it. A lot of those guys end up sticking around a roster for a little bit. Tyler Matakevich, the most recent one to come to mind here with the Steelers. Before that, Brett Kiesel was a 7th-round pick and had a tremendous career. But for the most part, you know what I mean? If these guys,
David Johnson.
Oh, yeah, David Johnson too.
Perfect, yeah.
Even round 4 and below for three years in the NFL is a coin flip. So if you're getting more than a coin flip out of these guys, 2 or 3 years, if you get all of them to make the roster, the only guy who didn't make the roster this past season was Colin Holba, got beat out by an undrafted free agent. A lot of people called that a wasted pick. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, I don't know. I don't get – it's hard for me to judge long snappers, let's face it. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of film on them. But you know what? That case in point, did it really matter that much? Well, somebody says, well, Antonio Brown Brown came in the sixth round. Well, how many other receivers went in the sixth round that weren't Antonio Brown? I mean, or Tom Brady, or even Vince Williams, another sixth rounder. It doesn't really work that way. Not every pick can be a slam dunk. But like you said, when you get a draft where you had like Pouncey and Worlds and Sanders, and people were complaining that Thaddeus Gibson, a fourth round draft pick, did not pan out on the defense. And in that same draft, you get Antonio Brown. So, I mean, some of it works. Now, when you have it's disappointing. It's definitely disappointing when you have a first round draft pick and that guy doesn't live up to be the man like Ziggy Hood or Jarvis Jones. But at the same time, you got to give players a chance too. I'm not ready to write off Artie Burns or Sean Davis or Javon Hargrave. In fact, three rookie starters on the previous year's defense, that's huge coming out of any draft to have three guys start like that. And they are growing and they're coming along. They're not playing behind veterans like they used to with Dick LeBeau.
Yeah. And then, like you said, even back to the point with the just getting down to the fourth and picks, just making it to the roster, that's also just making it to the roster. That doesn't mean they're going to even impact players. How many guys on the team this year on just the Steelers to make it in-house that people know of that made like a huge successful impact? There are still a few guys on the bottom of the Steelers roster that didn't do very much at all. So like really you got what, a league of about 2,000, 32 teams and stuff. You got to imagine like at least 1,600-1,700 of them, or at least are making at least some sort of difference, let alone just doing something at all. So it's like it's really hard to get some of these every single draft pick right. And it's just the more draft picks, the more room for error, which is why the NFL went from, what was it, like 13, 14, 15 rounds all the way down to 7. Yeah, so it's just a lot of room for error, and it's hard to see how someone's going to do in college versus when they start maturing and then getting into the NFL, playing with the big boys, basically.
Yeah, and here's just a look at some of the first-round picks the Steelers have had throughout the years. The last guy, this is the Kevin Colbert era, when he officially took over, and then eventually he got the title of GM because the Steelers didn't officially have a general manager title for a very long time. Plaxico Burress in 2000, and I just made comment to somebody via Twitter that he is the last top 10 draft pick that the Steelers have had. This was the comment from Twitter, was I said the word was good because they said they perpetually draft in the bottom of each round, which means when you're consistently winning, you're drafting later than a lot of your competition. And somehow they still bang out some great picks like this. So Plaxico was eighth overall in 2000. You got Casey Hampton, who was an all pro all the time. I'd say Plaxico was a darn good player. Kendall Simmons. Okay. You got potential Hall of Famers now. Troy Polamalu, Ben Roethlisberger, maybe the franchise's greatest tight end ever, Heath Miller. Man, 3 years in a row. Now you go 4 years in a row, Santonio Holmes. Now Holmes isn't in the NFL anymore, but Super Bowl MVP.
His demise was a story for another time, but it was, as we know, it was kind of not 100% of on the field issues, obviously, which is why he's not in the NFL anymore.
Oh, true. I mean, Father Time comes for everyone. A 10-year NFL career.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. Quarterbacks, kickers, these guys might play till they're like late 30s, early 40s in some cases. Punters, very rare to see. A lot of people see like James Harrison run around out there at 39. That's not atypical of linebackers, or you know, if you're a running back, you're already done by it. You're like 28 and you're watching at home. So
yeah, exactly.
Lawrence Timmons,
which is why Le'Veon wants to get paid this year.
Yeah, he does. He wants to be set for life. He'll be set. He'll be good. If he's smart with his money, he's already good. But speaking of which, this is weird. Rob Gronkowski, I heard this. This is just a weird tidbit in the middle of this. Popped in my brain. I heard this the other day, maybe Fox Sports Radio or something of that nature, ESPN, one of them. And they said he's never spent a dime, a penny of his game checks.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
All endorsement money. So, you know what? Mm-hmm. Maybe not as dumb as he looks.
Yeah. or sounds or talks or does almost anything except for his on the field play.
Yeah. Somebody just said his mama was like, hey, you're giving that over to me. The rest of this is your allowance. You know, whatever you make from, I don't know who endorses him, maybe Nike or something like that. But Lawrence Timmons, Rashard Mendenhall. Mendenhall had a decent couple years. Ziggy Hood. OK, okay. He didn't amount to the prototype the Steelers needed. That one hurt because Aaron Smith got hurt too. Cam Hayward sat forever. I remember when people called him a bust and he never had an opportunity to play. I said, wait this out. David DeCastro, yeah. Maybe the best guard in the NFL right now.
Oh, yeah.
Jarvis Jones. Jarvis Jones comes along because James Harrison had back issues. James Harrison was on his way out. Lamar Woodley couldn't stay healthy. He was a pick for need, necessity, and that didn't work out. They reached for him. But Shazier, if he were to play, still play. He was a heck of a playmaker. He was getting there to be elite. Bud Dupree, jury's still out. I don't want to hear anybody. Don't at me. Artie Burns, same thing. Jury's still out. Don't at me. T.J. Watt, I'm going to say the same thing. Jury's still out. Don't at me. Good rookie season. Yeah. But that's all we got to look at right now, just like you said with Dak.
Because Bud Dupree, remember, he was injured for a lot of it. So really, he just had his second season. So you can't judge a guy off of two seasons, and his first one was really good. So yeah, you've got a lot of potential, and Dak does have a lot of potential. It's the same kind of thing. There is such thing as a sophomore slump, so they can turn around. So that's why the jury is still out. I agree. I don't at me again, but I agree with Bud Dupree. I still think that he, along with Sean and Artie, have potential to be incredibly good. They're just finding out that as a rookie, there's not a lot of tape on them, so sometimes they do a lot better than they might have if they'd been playing in the NFL a couple of years. But they're learning. They're still on rosters. They're still starting. They're still doing all the things, at least to be getting a position and getting some stat lines. So and they're learning. That's what this game is. There hasn't been one perfect player in the NFL. Even Tom Brady wasn't perfect when he was younger, and they're still learning, especially just at the beginning of their careers.
So you could get away. I think the point is you could probably get away with an okay draft as long as you bookend those, finding maybe a very quality player and someone that's at least a role player. Because you look at a 2009 and Ziggy Hood and Craig Urbick, it didn't do much. Now, in that same third round as Urbick went, they didn't have a second-round pick. Mike Wallace, Keenan Lewis, also in the third round, and they were contributors there for a few years. But as we said earlier, Pouncey, Sanders, A.B., Jason Worlds, you get to Cam Hayward, Marcus Gilbert, just those were fantastic picks. A lot of good second-round picks by Colbert. But the 2012 mm-hmm. year is what hurt that 2012 season and that 2013 season. DeCastro hurt for the better part of the beginning of that. They were trying to revamp the offensive line. Mike Adams didn't work out. Sean Spence tore out his knee, got shredded. He wasn't ready to do anything for years. You had guys get in trouble off the field, Alameda Ta'amu and Chris Rainey. They found Kelvin Beachum in the seventh round, but they couldn't mm-hmm. it couldn't retain him. You go to the following season, Jarvis Jones bust, but they got Le'Veon Bell. That invalidates anything else in that draft, but they still even got Vince Williams. I even argued a fourth-round pick for Landry Jones, who's won the team a handful of games here or there. A well-worth fourth-round pick just in that regard. You go to Shazier and Tuitt, Martavis Bryant, all in 2014. I don't know how you could really argue this. Okay, Senquez Golson didn't work out, but we don't know about Dupree, and I'd say Jesse James has been probably better than anyone would have thought coming out of the fifth round. And then the other guys that we kind of talked about, the more recent ones. And then there's all the undrafted guys that they find and fill the roster with, too. Very few free agents. They don't really do a reach. They surprised everyone when Joe Hayden became available. We all knew that they wanted a corner. They weren't willing to break the bank on everyone else. The Hayden thing ended up working out. It's very rare. They traded for Vance McDonald. They tried the year before to get Ladarius Green. They don't make splashes like the Ladarius Green signing. I could count on one hand maybe this decade. The other big one was when they brought Mike Mitchell in at safety. So more or less, the Steelers have a very good track record there. They have players who have longevity. They're able to also fill or bolster some of their weaknesses on the roster with some role players that are either later in the draft or undrafted. They retain a lot of their cornerstone players. You see that now with the contracts for Hayward and Tuitt. We're expecting one for Bell. We know AB and Ben have big mega deals and stuff of that nature. So, and then you look at the specialists too, Chris Boswell, Jordan Berry. I mean, you can't get much better than that. Not that a whole lot of teams are spending picks on kickers or punters, but it's still part of building the roster, and it all comes
sometimes together. It pans out. Yeah. Sometimes those picks pan out.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you're in agreement with me. It was just one of those things where I was a little annoyed because, like I was saying, a lot of people saying, well, Mike Tomlin has a very talented team. And then in the same breath, they go and say that the Steelers don't draft well. You can't expect all 7 or 8 picks to make a roster, let alone make an impact. And that's the lesson today, boys and girls. And the more you know, is that knowing is half the battle or something like that. G.I. Joe, however it used to go.
Yeah.
But Noah, good having you on. Any parting words, anything else you want to get off your chest?
No, just hang in there. I guess we'll see more of the off-season moves. But I know especially this off-season, it might be just a little interesting, a big question mark with how some of the contracts are going to lay out, how some of the team is going to shape up. But we got a lot of time to talk about it. We got a lot of stuff to look forward to, honestly. I know it's, again, every year it's been a long time since the Steelers have even been into the Super Bowl, but I don't think that they're on the way down. I still think they have a lot of potential, and it's frustrating every year when you get knocked out of the playoffs. But then again, I was also talking to you about this too. This is the NFL, the playoffs. It's a one game thing. It's someone could have a bad day. The other team could just do incredibly well. And even if one team would win a 7-game series, like baseball, hockey, basketball, that they would win a 7-game series 10 times out of 10, you never know. Maybe you catch them on that one day, because just one game and you're eliminated and you don't even get a chance. I guarantee if Pittsburgh played Jacksonville in more than just one game, various weeks off and stuff like that, I think that the result would be a little more different. So it's just one game. I don't think the Steelers are taking huge leaps back. I think they've learned through a bunch of stuff this season, and there's just a lot to look forward to.
There is. And if one of those things is drafting a quarterback, oh, man, please. Mm-hmm. We got something coming up on the site here in the next day or so, rounding up some of the mock drafts. And I can't believe some of the things that people – I'm seeing quarterbacks next to the Steelers' name at pick 28. And I'm like, these guys aren't even first-rounders. I'm sorry. It's driving me insane. But at the same time, you know what? There's best player available. There's needs. And you could definitely see where the Steelers have done one or the other. TJ Watt was definitely a need this past mm-hmm. season. Juju Smith-Schuster, everybody's like, what are you doing? We want our corner. Blah, blah, blah. They're going crazy about this. And now everybody's like, I love Juju. He's the rookie of the year. How can he not be rookie of the year? But Steelers don't draft well. And so it's a moot point.
Trust Kevin Colbert. I'm so glad that he is on the Steelers.
Yeah, and I'm glad he hasn't burned out and flamed out. You know, it's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh, yeah.
got to be like just a grind to do this year after year, and he's still there, and he's extended, and he and Tomlin around for several more years, and maybe Ben as well. And you know, that's really a nucleus that we are all very spoiled, entitled Steelers fans. Very few fan bases get to enjoy the success that we have. So, Noah,
exactly.
Once again, thanks, man.
Almost
my brother from another mother. I say that about Brian, but he would be my older brother. You could be my younger brother.
Yeah.
and then I'll call him Robin, too, and I'll tick everybody off. So...
Yeah.
It works, but
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm sure you folks disagree with me. That's awesome. I love it. Let me hear your hot takes. Send them our way. Until next time, my name's Joe. His name's Noah. Be safe. Be good. We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.